Hello and welcome to the Microsoft Virtual Academy for Africa. We're here today doing the Teaching with Technology course. My name's Megan Rademeyer and I'm here with Victor Ngubeni. Before we get started, let me tell you a bit about myself. I used to be a high school teacher, but now I'm the programs manager at SchoolNet South Africa. SchoolNet's a non-governmental organization that aims to empower teachers to use technology effectively in education. Victor, tell us a bit about what you do.
Well, as they say, it takes two to tango. I used to be a teacher too, but now I work at Microsoft and I work for the education team, responsible for teacher training within the Partners in Learning program. And with my job, I'm exposed to a lot of teacher training. So I go to schools and help teachers with how they can integrate technology in teaching and learning.
So I think, Victor, we've got a lot in common. We're both former teachers, and we both are passionate and enthusiastic about using technology for education. In this part of the Teaching with Technology course, we're going to be talking about the UNESCO ICT Competency Framework for Teachers. And the big question that we're trying to answer in this module is, how is technology changing our world and how should education respond?
Sure.
Before we get into that, can you tell us a little bit about UNESCO, what it stands for, and what it aims to do?
Great place to start. So, UNESCO is an abbreviation and it stands for United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization.
That's quite a mouthful.
It's quite a mouthful. So, and they're all about many things, but what their main objective is to promote peace and security through education, science and culture. And so they've been involved in many different projects in education in different countries. But one of the main contributions recently is the UNESCO ICT Competency Framework for Teachers. So they've created this competency framework for teachers.
And I think what's great about it is it's an internationally recognized competency framework and based on sound research and sort of what the leading experts in this field are putting forward.
Yeah.
Can you tell us what the objectives of this competency framework for teachers are?
Well, many objectives, but let me go through the main ones. So the main objective is they want to set a common set of guidelines. We know many countries around the world are looking at ways in which we can use technology in the classroom to impact teaching and learning. But a lot of the times that there have not been like guidelines. So what UNESCO, their main contribution here is they're putting together those guidelines through the ICT competency framework for teachers. Also, we can use the competency framework for teachers to come up with a set of qualifications and also use the competency framework to come up with professional development, ideas for creating teacher training. Very important as well is to the CFT, ICT CFT is trying to harmonize different views. So different countries have different opinions on how ICT can help teaching and learning, but you need some harmony in terms of the vocabulary that is being used, in terms of opinions, in terms of guidelines, and that's what UNESCO is trying to do here with the ICT CFT.
I think the thing I really like about it is it helps give some structure to what we do.
Absolutely.
Teachers or schools or even education departments can think about, this is where I am, or this is where teachers in our system are.
Yeah.
And they can then look at professional development opportunities or training that teachers need to get from the place where they're at to the place where they want to be. So we've talked a lot about it, but let's see this competency framework for teachers.
Yeah, they have, UNESCO have six competencies or six areas that they look at in terms of ICT in education. They have, understanding ICT in education is one area, curriculum and assessment, ICT pedagogy, how we can teach ICT or integrate it in the classroom, ICT tools that we can use for teaching and learning, how we can organize ICT tools for teaching and learning, and also how we can professionally develop teachers or train teachers on ICT. And within all those six competencies or areas, you have three levels. You have the basic level, which is the computer literacy or technology literacy, and knowledge creation, which is now at an advanced level. So from that structure, schools can use the structure to kind of plot the pathway that the teachers can go through in terms of professional development. Maybe teachers are at a lower level or at a basic level, and they can now chart a learning pathway to an advanced level of ICT integration, which is knowledge creation.
What's great about this competency framework for teachers for me is that it focuses on different areas that a teacher may or may not be skilled in. So using technology is not just about assessment or not just about perhaps using a spreadsheet to keep track of your marks or using a word processor to type nice looking exam papers. Yeah. This framework realizes that there are different competencies that are involved. So things like using technology to enhance your knowledge of curriculum and different assessment practices. Yeah. Or how you organize and administer your classroom.
Speaking of that, I remember my own learning pathway towards ICT in education. That's where I started. You know, that's where I started by learning how to use technology to do like basic administrative tasks, like, you know, like typing my class tests, typing maybe learner's workbooks, and analyzing learners' marks using Excel and so on and so on. But as soon as I learned how to do that, I now realized that there's a huge opportunity to learn more on how technology can now be integrated in my teaching practice. And that's where I learned how to create projects and got my students to work with other students, do research using technology, and really enjoy the power of technology.
Yeah, so teachers move through those different levels.
Yes.
Perhaps they begin by using technology for their classroom administration.
Yeah.
Then they start integrating it into their subjects and starting to bring lessons to life by perhaps playing a video clip or showing a presentation on a screen. And then we hope that they'll give learners or students an opportunity to start creating things using technology and using the technology themselves.
And it's a journey, Megan. It's not something that would happen today. You go to a school and now you show teachers like how they can use technology for basic administrative tasks. And then tomorrow you turn up and you find that they're integrating technology. Normally, it usually takes a bit of time and confidence. And that's why you need training, professional development. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And teachers are also very reluctant to appear foolish in front of their students.
That's another problem.
So often they think, their teenagers or young children who they teach know more about technology than they do. And they need to build confidence by perhaps first doing those class administration things before they have the confidence to start integrating technology and then letting learners loose on using technology themselves.
Absolutely.
Also, it maybe depends on where you are in your teaching career. So maybe a new teacher, fresh from college, is very skilled at using technology himself or herself, but maybe they don't have the pedagogical skills or even the subject knowledge that perhaps an older, more experienced teacher would have. So it's about learning from one another and building your competencies and realizing that you might be on the beginner rung, the technology literacy level for one thing, and you might be more advanced in another competency, and planning out your professional development in accordance with your needs.
That's why the ICT, the UNESCO ICT competency framework is useful, because it helps teachers, it helps schools realize where they are and where they want to go in terms of technology or using technology in the classroom, and kind of provide that structure or that framework in terms of how they can get there.
If we look at this highest strand, this knowledge creation level,
yeah,
and we look at the curriculum and assessment competency, There, the aim is to build knowledge society skills. So these are things like 21st century skills, and it's great to see those being included into this UNESCO ICT competency framework for teachers. Victor, can you tell us a bit more about what 21st century skills are?
Absolutely. So it's more of a buzzword. Everywhere you go, everyone is saying, we need to teach kids 21st century skills, because they belong in the 21st century, they need to have these skills. But what are these skills? Well, different people have different ideas or opinions of what these skills are. But the most common skills that everyone is talking about in terms of 21st century skills are things like using technology to solve problems. You know, how can we how can me as a teacher use technology in my classroom to get students to solve real world problems and innovate, like create something new? How can they use technology to communicate skillfully? We know every day we have different technologies that emerge, and most of these technologies offer powerful ways in which kids can communicate and do things like, you know, WhatsApp or, you know, instant communication, you know, using Skype and so on. But now we need to think as teachers, how can kids use these tools in the classroom to communicate skillfully? How can kids use these skills, tools in the classroom to learn, to regulate themselves or to manage their own learning? Very importantly, how can kids use the technologies to collaborate, to work together in projects?
So we both went to school before there was heaps of technology in the classroom. I think we had an overhead projector, and that was probably quite fancy back in the day. So I think we agree that it is possible for a teacher to teach collaboration or to teach skill communication without technology.
Absolutely.
But I think what technology does is it provides an exciting way of doing it. It gets kids engaged and interested in lessons. And often they're so excited about using the technology that they don't realize just how much learning is taking place, because they're having fun doing it. And not only covering their subject knowledge, but developing those 21st century skills at the same time. Victor, to try and give a practical example, I know it's been a couple of years, but when we first met, you were a Microsoft Innovative teacher. And you were being recognized for the great project that you had pulled off in your very rural, not very well-resourced school in Limpopo in South Africa. Can you maybe tell the viewers a bit more about that project and how you were able to get kids excited about 21st century skills in an environment that wasn't very 21st century?
Megan. That's a long time ago, but it was a great project.
And it was.
As I told you, it was a time when I've just discovered about the power of technology, how technology can offer learners opportunities that wouldn't be available without technology, things like collaboration. Because what I did in my project, you know, I used to be a geography teacher, as I said at the beginning, but a lot of the times, my teaching used to be, you know, based on the textbook. I was used to teach exactly what is contained in the textbook. But as soon as I discovered the power of technology and some of the tools that I could use, I decided to venture into the unknown and try to, you know, design a project where my kids collaborated with kids in the US, and they also, you know, went on a school trip and came back and typed the trip report on a computer, and in that way, learning how word processing skills, things like grammar. You know, it was a geography lesson, but now as they type their reports on the computer, they are now learning grammar in a geography lesson. And then they went on, and I connected the kids with kids in the US. They created adverts about about local businesses, and then they shared the adverts with kids in the US. They also did an environmental project where they went out and cleaned the environment and so on. It was a great, great project, but it's many years ago. And in that time, there was less tools than we have today. But in that time, it was innovative in the sense that it was something that the kids were not exposed to before. And they had to go out and use technologies that they had never used before and connect with kids and collaborate and do the project.
So, Victor, what you were doing a few years ago was cutting-edge stuff at the time.
At the time, yeah.
And you were using tools that were really exciting at the time. So things like being able to Skype or even sort of send and receive emails.
Yes, yeah.
That was very exciting for rural children from Limpopo.
Yeah.
And if we were to go back to the classroom now, we could get them collaborating on an Office 365 document, in real time, working on the same document. We could set up a link meeting.
Yes,
There'd be great things you could do.
I remember in that time, computers used to be smaller in terms of, bigger in terms of size, but smaller in terms of storage space, right? But if you talk about Office 365, I can only think of what I could have done back then with the tools that we have today.
Yeah.
Because storage was a problem. I remember we used to share videos with the kids in the US with which I connected my kids, but we had a problem with storage. And it was a time when we didn't have the USB drives,
storage drives.
We didn't have those.
And also the bandwidth, it must have taken forever to upload a video.
Yeah, if we had things like Office 365, which gives you OneDrive, which allows you to store stuff, I can only imagine what I could have achieved back then.
So maybe innovative teaching is about doing what you can with what you have.
Absolutely, that's very important.
And we see teachers doing great things at schools that don't have much in the way of resources, but what they do have is a willing and creative spirit, and they're willing to give something a go. And I think the thing that is still impressive about your project was that you provided an authentic learning experience for your children. I know as a former English teacher that kids know when the only person who's going to read their essay or their assignment is the teacher. And the only reason why they're creating it is because they need to get a mark for completing that task. Whereas in your project, they were putting effort into their grammar, into their spelling, into their language, because they knew that the text they were producing was going to be read by learners in another country.
Yeah.
And they didn't want those learners in the United States thinking that their grammar was sloppy and they couldn't spell.
I remember those, so I'm sure as an English teacher you'd remember some of those. I remember in my time as a student, we used to have teachers ask us to write a composition or essays about the trip to the Kruger Park.
And you'd never actually been to the Kruger Park.
when you say to the teacher, I've never been to the Kruger Park, he says to you, imagine, just create something, write something, even if you have never been there. So.
Yeah, and I mean, really, you can find a topic as a teacher that's meaningful to the learners who are going to have to write on it. Or better yet, let them select their own topic so that they've got a stake in it. They've chosen it and they want to sort of do something on that topic.
So, by the way, you I'm sure today you do have tools that can, even if you don't have money to go to the Kruger Park, you can take a virtual tour to the park.
Oh, for sure, for sure. So, and you can see other people's photosynths that Microsoft Travel app is amazing. I'm sure there are sort of photos and virtual tours on that. So if you were back at your school in Limpopo, you could take your learners virtually to all sorts of places.
Absolutely.
But I think the key is about thinking quite carefully about what you're aiming to teach.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not just in terms of the subject matter, but in terms of the 21st century skills. And it is possible for a teacher to get through his or her curriculum and teach some worthwhile skills at the same time. and as far as possible, letting learners have an opportunity to use technology because they love it. It gets learners excited about school.
We will come back to this the 21st century skills in later modules.
For sure. But Victor, if we both think that these 21st century skills are so important, and it was possible for you to teach 21st century skills even at a school that didn't have many resources, why do you think it is that, that teachers aren't teaching more of these 21st century skills?
I'm sure there are a number of reasons. One of the reasons I can think of is exams, especially in high schools. Primary schools, I think teachers have a little bit of leeway, if I may call it that, to be innovative and try out new ideas. But in high schools, I tend to find that teachers do struggle a bit. Also, teachers tell me, or one of my experiences is that 21st century skills are a lot harder to assess. So teachers...
You can't make a multiple choice test to see if somebody's learned collaboration.
Yeah, they tend to be a little bit harder to assess. And many times, because teachers are stressed, the system is stressing, they look out for easy way out. So they test things that are easier to test. But the problem with those things is that we can as well use technology to test those things, because, you know, they are simple to test, and therefore we can use technology to test. That's the dilemma that schools face. They know about these skills, but it's difficult to implement them because of many constraints, time, exams. Yeah.
And I think also a teacher who is more likely to give innovative teaching practices a whirl is a teacher who's confident about his or her subject matter.
Yeah.
And isn't so constrained by the textbook. Like, if I just stick to the textbook, it's going to be right. And I'm preparing my learners for the exam. So, better prepared, better trained teachers, teachers who are competent with their subjects. I think that's a good place to start. And I'm hoping that this Teaching with Technology course can help teachers at least feel more confident about using technology in the classroom.
The great thing about the course, I know we'll go deeper into this as we go along, but the great thing about the Teaching with Technology course is it's based on continuous professional development. You don't only just go there and get the certificate and you walk out, that's it. No, you can go there and take retests. So you can go there and learn about new skills, go and practice those skills in the classroom, come back and take a retest. So it's really nice because you can continually use the material and not just once off.
Yeah. I think the course also walks the walk. It teaches the way we hope teachers will teach. The information is all there,
yeah,
but teachers can select which module they want to do first. If they already know a lot about one module, they may not do that module at all and rather focus their attention on something that they don't know as much about. So I think it's a really well put together course. Before we move on to what modules next, let's reflect a bit on what schools were like and where we hope they'll go. How are schools preparing students for a different kind of economy and a different kind of workplace, perhaps when we were at school?
We hear this a lot, where everyone is complaining. Most countries are complaining kids can't get employment in the economy. So unemployment is a big global problem. But why is it like that? One of the reasons is that our kids are not gaining the skills that they need in order to take up the jobs in the economy. It's not the fact that the jobs are not there. The jobs are there, but there's almost like a mismatch between the skills that the kids that we produce in schools and the jobs that exist out there. And the reason is because I think our education system, or most education systems, are kind of misplaced. They're not answering the demands of the job market. And the reason is that they still reflect what this classroom used to be many centuries ago. If you look at the slide that I have up there, classrooms, that's what classrooms used to look like many centuries ago. You'd have a blackboard up in the front, you'd have a teacher delivering a lesson from the front, and kids just sitting and listening, looking up to the teacher. That structure hasn't changed. We may be having today classrooms that look different in terms of the furniture, newer furniture, whiteboard
or
up in the front,
electronic whiteboard instead of a blackboard,
tablets
or
textbooks,
or
that
reading
are on tablets,
reading a textbook off a screen as opposed to reading it off
paper.
But has the pedagogy changed?
The pedagogy hasn't changed that much. You still have a teacher who's standing up front delivering a message. And a lot of the times, kids become so disinterested in what the teacher is doing because...
And maybe that style of teaching also still prepares them for a workplace where being able to memorize facts and then reproduce them later is important.
That's the industrial...
Yeah, the industrial age. Preparing learners for a job where you start at that job and 30 years later you retire from that same job, or maybe you've moved slightly into a management position. Whereas these days...
The workplace has changed.
People move from company to
company,
and it's important to be able to get along with different groups of people, work collaboratively on projects.
Absolutely.
Acquire new knowledge and new skills, because we're preparing learners for jobs that don't exist now, but will exist by the time they're leaving university.
Absolutely. And therefore... teaching has to change. I mean, that's obvious. You have to have... So when we say teaching, we mean, the structure of the classroom, as well as the pedagogy, the way teachers teach needs to change in order to make sure that the kids gain this 21st century skill. Not only must we just push content, we need to also push skills, because that's what, as you say, companies are looking for. They're looking for kids or students with skills, with 21st century skills to collaborate, to create new knowledge, and to solve world problems.
And sadly, often even employed people who maybe have those skills say that they didn't actually learn those skills at school.
Yeah.
They've maybe acquired them somehow, but not as a result of their schooling, which kind of makes you wonder then, Why are we sending children to school for 12 years?
Yes.
If they then are not learning skills that are going to be useful to them beyond school.
Sure.
So Victor, to wrap up, this teaching with technology course, how do you think it's going to be useful to teachers?
It will introduce to them ways in which they can become innovative. It gives them ideas for how to use technology in an innovative way in the classroom. And by using technology in an innovative way, they will learn how to understand students' perspective and experiences. You know, whenever they design lessons, they'll first have to think about, will this excite my students? What will my students learn? And what is the role of technology? How will technology help my students to achieve the learning goals? Also, by doing the course, they'll learn how to give access to anytime, anywhere learning. So we talk about this, the fact that a lot of our students today carry mobile devices. And as teachers, we now need to think of ways in which we can incorporate learning activities that afford students anytime, anywhere learning. So
there are lots of practical strategies,
and
it's related back to real scenarios, situations that teachers may face in the classroom. So it's practical, it's hands-on, and it's hopefully teaching them some new skills that they didn't already know.
Not only new skills, but different ways to deal with scenarios. So as you do the course, you'll be exposed to different scenarios. It is scenario-based, so as you solve those scenarios, you'll be learning how to deal with different situations that may occur in a classroom.
And maybe making teachers more reflective practitioners. So thinking about what they're doing rather than just teaching the same old way that they've been teaching since they qualified as teachers.
Also how they can collaborate with other teachers and share ideas. So the course really focuses on that.
Okay, so that sounds great, Victor. What's next?
So you will be taking over in the next course, by the way. So the next course will be, Megan will do, you'll do that one. It's called Selecting ICT Resources to Support Curriculum Outcomes. So
I'm looking forward to it. Seeing practical strategies and some examples of genuine classroom practice where a teacher's taken a resource and has used it in a way that really promotes teaching and learning.
Absolutely.
So I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
Well, that's the end of our first session in the Teaching with Technology course. We hope you enjoyed it, and we hope that you'll be back for more for our next module. See you then. Bye.